Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday show. Optimize My Life presents Know Your Communication. The importance of communication isn't just nonverbal. Hi, Derek. How are you?
How are you?
Doing phenomenal.
That's so cute that your age got us singing that song. That was so cute.
She not only sings it, but she wrote it herself.
That's so cute.
All right, give me 2 seconds. There we go. Much better. I'm doing about 8 things at once at the moment. So as we're talking about communication, as you hear the stomping behind me, my husband decided to come in and grab a pair of socks at the same time. He's getting dirty looks in the process because he likes to be smart, or he thinks he's smart. So today we're talking about not only the importance of nonverbal and verbal communication, but the one aspect that I personally believe, and a lot of others believe, is the importance of not only that, but also having an open form of communication with your family, your individuals. There we go. And the importance of communication is having it starting at a very young age. For some reason, things are not quite working yet. All right, give me 2 minutes. I'm having a slight technical difficulty here.
Kurt didn't even talk to me last night.
I'm sorry, Derek. Yeah, I'm sorry, everybody. I wasn't here yesterday. I had just this huge headache, and I laid down, and that was it. I couldn't see straight. So Kurt took over the show for me, and I apologize. It doesn't happen very often, but next time I'll find someone better to take over the show.
Bob could.
Yes, but Bob's been really busy lately. Bob
yeah.
is our day host on Thursdays. And for
Have
some reason,
asked him, I'm sure he won't mind.
Oh no, I'm sure he won't. But it was like very last minute, so. So communication, talking to your kids, especially at a very young age, is so important. And, you know, opening that dialogue, especially when they're toddlers, is crucial. You know, when they're getting to that age when they start having temper tantrums and meltdowns and issues, it's important to sit them down and talk to them about why they're having those problems. But instead of asking why, you ask what. You know, you give them the word to assess what's going on, because they may not, part of temper tantrums are, one, it's because they're they're not getting their way, or, you know, they're tired or crabby. But, you know, a lot of it is because they have little control and not a lot of vocabulary yet, so they can't explain themselves. And we give them the language to be able to tell them, to express themselves. It's huge to learn and all that, but it's more between you and your kids as they get older, in that you can see they're struggling with something. I'll try this a little bit different in here. And so when they become teenagers and they're getting out of that days of talking to you, they're going to be more willing to open themselves up to you because they know that that is an option that normally isn't an option. There we go. All right, sorry about that. Technical glitches are fixed. You know, the other part is when you know, it used to be back in the day, you know, kids had that contact. They look at you. Hey, Dirk, I'm going to mute you because you got something obnoxious in your background. Okay, thank you. So much better. Is having that eye contact, seeing you look at what you're doing, is used to be crucial and a sign of respect. And kids with special needs, especially ADHD, autism, things like that, when you force that eye contact on them, they spend so much time focusing on what looking at you, they're not paying attention to what you're saying. So allowing them to look at whatever they're doing, wherever their mind or their eyes roll, is so crucial. Getting them to pay attention. The second aspect is to just giving them time. You know, when you're talking to kids, waiting, and it's a very, very long time. It feels like it. Trust me, I'm there. I have two autistic kids. And I'm married. So getting kids to respond to you before you ask them again, and the more mad, irritated you get, is just stopping and waiting 20 seconds and counting that 20 seconds in your head or looking at a clock, and then ask them again. Because if you still don't get a response, form that question, the question into a response for them to basically copy what you said. But opening those communications are so important because it teaches your children how to develop that positive relationship with other kids, other people. And it also teaches them how to have a conversation. You know, kids aren't born knowing how to have a conversation. They're taught how to talk. And teaching them how to go back and forth and having those conversations, as simple as when you're eating dinner and talking about how your day was, or just stopping with your kids instead of always having social media, electronics, TVs, anything going, just sitting down and talking builds not only the rapport, but also teaches them how to sit down and talk to each other without texting, without IMing or whatever it's called now, DMing. You know, we have failed a generation of kids because most kids turn around and they see. You see them talking through text messages back and forth. They don't actually sit in a room together and have a conversation. And as you're sitting there communicating with them and talking to them, you're also showing them how to be a good listener. Now, when you're sitting down, you're sitting there having that communication, you always want to make sure that you're paying attention to them. You're not just off doing something else and only half listening, because you're teaching them how to only half listen. No, and as you're starting this out when they're young, you want to set aside time each day. You know, at our house, it's dinner time. During dinner time is when we have family time, which is we sit down and talk about our day, the good and the bad. You know, you got to remember, as you're having these conversations, you don't want to focus just on the positive. You also want to focus on the other things that'll happen. Or what happens? You want to focus on everything that's going on in their day. You want to make that special one-on-one time. Because not only that, but it also strengthens the bond between you and your children. No, as you're sitting there talking, you want to make sure that, and you're giving them the attention, you want to make sure you're praising them too at the same time, sitting there telling them the good, the bad, the ugly, but doing it in a positive way. And one of the things is like, okay, so your kids, you know, are sitting down doing something. You always want to tell them what they're doing, when you're giving them praise, telling them why they're getting praise. You know, at the same time, you know, when your children are having those emotional moments, and if when they are in that moment, you want to talk, when they're calming down, you want to, you know, to help them describe those feelings. But not only describe those feelings, but, you know, some ideas of what caused to happen, you know. So your child's sad or is crying, you know, things that you can say is, well, I can see that you're sad or you're upset. Now, what happened to cause you to be upset? And if they don't know, then you give them, you know, some tips. Well, was it because I said this, or is it because you couldn't have your way? And you want to give them the words to explain what they're feeling and what they're doing when they don't have the words. When you're giving them older and they're able to label things, you know, a lot of times they still don't always have the words to explain what's going on. And now as they get older into school age, sitting there having that conversation or you're asking them questions, you know, listen with your whole body. Face them. Pay attention to what they're saying. Be engaged, nodding your head, showing the communication cues that you've learned as you're growing up. And if you're feeling that tension or you're hearing these emotions in the sounds of their voice, talk about it. Acknowledge that they're feeling, and acknowledge that it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. You're given emotions for a reason. And just pretending they don't exist or shutting them down doesn't help. And at the same time, you always want to sit and talk about things without judging. And that's a hard thing to do. You know, as a parent, you're great at giving instructions, providing facts. You know, the table. Do this, do that. A lot of times you struggle the big feelings. And for you to, and as a parent, you struggle at times to, and not being there. A lot of times, it's just is enough. No, that's why when you're having these conversations, you always want to make sure that you're calm. The conversations out, or once they get going, is using open statements or door opener statements too. You know, okay, I see. How about that? Really? My favorite's really, so I use that one a lot. Or what about the other one is that I use a lot is, what else can you tell me about it? I'd love to hear more. Using these statements, it shows that you are interested. And if you're not, take it to ER. And that helps get them engaged with the conversations. And the one that I personally have struggled with a lot when my kids were young was using more do's and yeses than no's. A lot of times, the first words that ever come out of my mouth are, stop that. Instead of that, you could use an alternative. You know, instead of saying, don't do this, say, well, can you do this instead? Color on the paper, not on the wall. And another step is, and a lot of things that a lot of adults have a hard time with, especially educators and professionals, is talking to your child, not at your child. I went through this a lot with my kids in their school, with a lot of the therapists and services that they have is they don't directly interact with them. They just tell them what to do, just giving instructions instead of actively engaging back and forth. No, yes, kids have a limited vocabulary, and they have, but that's how their vocabulary increases. It increases due to these conversations that they you have with them. You know, another thing is using first person, you know, instead of saying your bedroom's a disaster. Just flat out tell them what you expect. I'd like you to clean your room. I don't feel like doing this right now. I got a headache, or I'm tired and I need a break. Can you? Another big one is, you know, you don't make any sense because you don't understand what they're saying. I'm sorry, I don't understand. Can you repeat this? Using tools like that gives them the positive, but you're not just putting the blame on the child. Even though it is their fault, they're talking, you don't understand them, is making them feel more important and more heard because you're saying, you're putting the acknowledgement that I don't understand what you're saying, or I don't know what's going on. When you're asking them or telling them to do something, you want to make sure that it's specific, not vague. When you're doing this, you want to make sure that they have your attention. You know, I want you to go clean your room. As they're doing this and you're saying this, you want to give them a reason. You know, I want you to clean your room because your room is a walk is there. And then talk about what you expect out of a clean room. Don't assume that they know what you're talking about. Because they really don't. Making sure that when you're talking to them, that they're not doing something else, playing, or make sure you always stop and center them. All right. Unhelpful and the most common communication error is using unkind words and labels. Putting them down. You're acting like a baby, or you're being bad. Using these words gives a negative side effect. And if your child will start to feel like they're not wanted or they're not liked. And this is part of the downward spiral, using these words a lot. Will ultimately knock down their viewpoint of themselves. Instead of using unkind words and blaming them for whatever they're doing and putting them down, use kind words. Oh, and I know it gets hard. Your kids drop a plate, spill it all over the place. Your house is a walking disaster because we have so they're kids. Trust me, I know. My house is like that all the time. But at the same time, when they make the bigger mistakes in life, they're more willing to come and talk to you about it because they understand that you're willing to understand and listen to them And they have that, you open that dialogue, especially it's crucial in their teen years. You know, instead of yelling at them because they dropped a plan or knocked it off the counter, spilled something. Oops, accidents happen. Let's clean it up. And when you do that, that gives them more responsibility and teaches them not to dwell on the bad, not to dwell on what goes wrong and what happens. It teaches them how to just keep moving forward and just account for their actions and clean up. But if they're worried that when they do make mistakes, which kids, all kids make mistakes, everybody makes mistakes, nobody's perfect. They're more apt to not dwell on them and worry about, and this is where anxiety comes in at a young age with kids. Some kids, is that they worry about all the bad things that can happen because they get yelled at a lot when the bad things do happen. Excuse me. Understanding mistakes happen, it's okay. And then when they do clean up the accidents, when they do fix the stuff and they don't have temper tantrums in public or whatever, praising them for the positives they do. You know, even simple as just I love you and giving them hugs and kisses. Simple works better than nothing at all. And in my eyes, one of the most important factors to opening communication is just accepting them. Each person, each child is an individual. They are unique and made a certain way. They are not mini youth. And a lot of people, that's hard to understand. Because when they're able to be open and honest with you about who they are, they're more apt to accept themselves. And the more that they feel happy with who they are, the more apt they are to, one, not become a bully, but two, also be able to stand up for themselves. All we want for our kids is to feel safe and loved. And being able to come out and talk about their feelings and talk about who they are is crucial at a young age. And developing this at a young age gives them the best foundation for the future. With kids, when you start commanding and lecturing and going on, you know, a good example is getting kids to eat certain foods. And my house is huge. With my son, he's got only eat certain foods. My daughter started getting that way too. They're both different degrees of autism. And so what we developed is from the Disney show Tots, the no thank you bite. So instead of yelling at them and forcing them to eat, which forcing your kids to eat food and cleaning their plates and all that, studies have shown that down the road cause eating disorders and things like that. So, you know, sitting there and forcing them to eat it, you turn it around on them and go, well, okay, let's try a bite. We're going to do no thank you bites. We're going to try a bite and see what you think. Yeah, try one bite. And you keep going this way and encouraging them. This way they feel like they're being listened to. But at the same time, you're still the parent directing things as we go. you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, allow all this bad behavior and everything's hunky-dory. It's how you communicate the good behavior and focus a lot more on the good behavior than the bad behavior. My grandma always had a saying that you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. It's the same approach. Being more positive and correcting behaviors and not allowing them, but doing it a little bit differently and distracting and changing things around is better than just always being no, 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 and negative all the time. All right, guys, we're almost out of time for today. Today was all about communication. Tomorrow and Thursday are teen call-in lines. So if you're looking for references, tools, or just need to talk about what's going on in your life in an anonymous atmosphere, tomorrow's the day to do that. Please check out our Facebook group and join that. You can also, on our Facebook group, talk to me and other hosts. Put in some suggestions for shows that you're looking for, want to talk about, different ideas. And tomorrow at noon Eastern time is all about emotions and the kindness, conquering chaos. We're talking about how to deal with and teach emotions and how understanding what's going on in your mind and your emotions is the ultimate act of kindness. On Thursday's noon show is Bob Oakley, and it's all about family time, how faith helps guide decisions in the family. Thank you for joining me. Have a good day. Talk to you guys all tomorrow. Bye.